Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Here.
Council President Jones?
Here.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. If you'll join me with the invocation, Justice Sturgeon.
Lord, as we open proceedings today, I just pray that you would be with the members of the council, be with the people that are here, people that have cases to bring or business to conduct. Lord, I just pray for your blessing on the time. I pray that that it would be productive, that govern wisely, Lord, and that as people leave this evening, that you would give safety on the roads home. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Now, if you join me with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. We do need to make an amendment to the agenda to remove item 7D. This is an item that doesn't require council approval, so other than that, unless there's anything else, if we could make that amendment to the agenda.
Mayor, I move that we remove item 7D from the agenda.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. The next thing on the agenda is a consent agenda. Any questions or comments or a motion to approve?
Richard?
I have nothing.
Mayor, nothing further than I move that we approve the consent agenda as listed.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Public hearings. Public hearing and consideration to approve 16-04-ZC rezone. Keith Clow, applicant requests to rezone approximately 8.74 acres currently in city limits from an A agricultural zone to a C2 area business district commercial zoning designation in order to construct a commercial storage facility. The site has no signed address and is located at the east side of North Meridian Road, south of East Meadowview Road, and north of East Cuna Road. Trevor Kessner.
Thank you, Mayor. Council members. For the record, my address is 751 West 4th Street. This rezone application before you from the property owner, Keith Clow, seeks approval to rezone the 8.74 acres currently in city limits from the existing ag zone to a C2 commercial area business district. As you stated, Mayor, the site has no address, but it is located on the east side of North Meridian Road. It's south of Meadowview and north of Cuna Road. If this body approves the rezone request, a C2 commercial zone designation would increase the lot coverage from existing 90% for ag to 100% for a C2 zone. And then it reduces the rear and side setbacks. And obviously, because this site is along Highway 69, it is within that Highway 69 overlay district, so you'd have some frontage buffering requirements there as well. It also is going to, it's presumed that the parcel street frontage along the highway is sufficient width to accommodate the expansion of that existing access point for commercial ingress and egress. And you can find in your packet, it's Exhibit C, I believe, ITD has approved that access permit for the applicant and has made no additional recommendations for ingress and egress off the highway. ACHD has stated that they have no objections to the development because it's accessed by the state highway system. However, impact fees will likely be assessed by ACHD because of the change in use from ag to more intensified C2 use.
Trevor, could you check that the mic is on?
It is. Let me bring it closer. Can you hear me now? Yes. So ACHD, because of that change in use, would probably require some impact fees to be paid by the applicant. And then those would need to be paid prior to granting a building permit as well by our department. The C2 zone would also permit a future commercial development on the site as indicated on the proposed site plan, which was submitted by the applicant's representative and entered the record at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. So I'm assuming that you all have that within your packet. It looks like this. Okay. So the proposed site plan, which shows that the applicant intends to construct or develop the site as a commercial self-storage facility, and that's completely allowed in the C2 zone. That would require the applicant to go through a full design review for any proposed development on the site, and that includes color renderings of any structures, paint color swatches, building facade materials, fencing, fire aisles, trash enclosures, parking, et cetera. All of it would need to meet code. And the parcel is designated as neighborhood and community commercial in the comprehensive plan future land use map, so a C2 zoning is appropriate and it accommodates such a use. Of course, agencies were notified, neighbors were within 300 feet were notified, and those agencies that responded were included as exhibits in the packet. The owner is here tonight, and he's been apprised of all the proposed conditions stated in the staff report, and he's indicated that he agrees with them. The applicant's representative has submitted a grading and drainage plan. That was around December 11th or 12th of this month, and the city engineer has provided comments back to the applicant already on that grading and drainage plan. Most notably, the city engineer recommended that potable water service lines need to be brought to the property. And then pressure irrigation and sewer connections are going to be required once those services reach or within 300 feet of that property. And then all those connections need to be prepaid. So, planning and zoning staff conclude the application fully complies with the goals and policies within the comprehensive plan and the future land use map, also Title V of CUNA City Code, and we would recommend approval to City Council with the conditions as stated in the staff report. And with that, I'll stand for any questions you have for me.
Okay. Questions for Trevor? Okay. Thank you. So this is a public hearing. I have two people that have signed up. Keith, did you want to testify? You didn't mark on the box. Testify or no? No? Okay. Was there anybody else in the audience who wished to testify in this matter? I have you on here. Okay. All right. Yeah, thank you. So we'll go ahead and open up the public hearing portion of the meeting. Lloyd Pack.
I'm Lloyd Pack, and I'm the engineer one of the engineers on this project. And Keith had just asked me to say some words, but Trevor had covered nearly everything that I would have said. So,
would you state your address for the record?
P.O. Box 1381, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606.
Thank you.
So if you've got any questions about the project, what's happened to date, what we intend to do, things like that, I'll stand for any questions. I don't know that I'm going to enlighten you any more than Trevor already has.
Okay. Questions for Mr. Pack? Nothing. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I get a motion to close the public hearing in this matter?
Mayor, I move that we close the public hearing.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to close the public hearing. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
What are we voting on?
Closing the public hearing.
Oh, closing. Yes.
OK. Council President Jones?
Yes.
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
Okay, the public hearing portion of the meeting has been closed, and the question is rightfully before council.
Mayor, if I could have the floor.
Yes.
I have mixed emotions about allowing, if you're talking 750 units plus a office building of about 7,000 square feet, it's right at the curve going north. People coming out of town are doing 35. They go up to 45. And just past this, it changes to 55. Coming south, you'll have people turning into this establishment, pulling trailers, large trucks. I just don't think it's a safe situation, given the highway, the curve, people slowing down around the curve to make a right-hand turn. I just don't feel comfortable with a heavily used establishment there. Lighter use, I would feel more comfortable.
Okay. Anyone else?
Mayor, I think I probably have the same concerns as Councilman Cardoza, but I also noticed that the responding parties didn't have any problems with it, but I think with that being a pretty much an acceleration of speed around that corner almost, but I don't know if that's anything we can change any requirements on. I definitely don't want to deter a business coming in. Is there anything else that's going to be coming before us later on as far as any, because I noticed that planning and zoning had to do this, the SUP that we're only doing rezone tonight. Does that come before us later on, or is that... Okay, so only thing we're ever going to vote on is a rezone.
Right.
I have concerns, but I guess I don't have anything to substantiate those concerns.
I guess I think it would be good to note that is actually at a pretty close to the half-mile mark. I realize the curve comes around there quite a ways, but Trevor, do you want to comment on any of that?
Mayor, Councilman Jones and Councilman Cardoza, you're correct, and your concerns are duly noted based upon the frequency of turning in ingress and egress there for a commercial use. We had a planning and zoning commissioner that had made an inquiry at the hearing about did ITD not have more to say, and they just didn't. So there may be some form of provisions that the design review committee could recommend, or maybe have the applicant maybe explore some creative things to maybe possibly mitigate the potential for, you know, any dangerous ingress and egress situations. But, you know, at this point, ITD has approved the permit, so.
And I guess I should stand corrected. That appears to be the quarter-mile mark, not the half-mile.
I think being at a five-lane road with the center turn lane in it, I mean, you can see a long ways there. You know, from where the site is, I don't see any problem with it myself.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. referring to IGD on whether or not it seems like the site can be safely accessed off the road, and if they don't have issues, then I don't want to substitute my judgment for theirs because they're the experts, so I'm not worried about the potential issues. I think we can find ways around that. The packet mentioned, you know, including the construction of a tapered approach to allow vehicles to exit the highway smoothly, so it sounds like that. I got the impression at least that that was part of the plan. So that covers it for me, I think.
Okay, thank you. What is the wish of the council?
Well, Mayor, at this time, then I will, based on the staff analysis, the criteria for rezoning, the comprehensive plan analysis, meeting our goals of property rights, economic development, land use, I move that we approve the rezone for 1604 ZC.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the rezone for 1604-ZC. Is there any further discussion?
I have one more question. Somewhere in here, Gordon, I think I read he has to have a water pump to that facility. It seemed like the sewer was not, but I didn't see anything that gave them future use of water. I thought it was immediate to this location.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
The recommendation from the city engineer, which is really based on what the city has done in the past in these type of situations, was number one, take care of the issues of fire protection, which is done through the providing of water service immediately, I think is the word that
right.
you used.
Right.
So that's recommended here. What is not recommended is immediate connection to pressure irrigation or sewer, but there are trigger points later on in time that would trigger the connection to those facilities.
Okay. I just want to bring to the attention of the council then that water would have to be pumped to that location if you okayed it. So.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, we have a motion on the floor to approve 1604-ZC. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
No.
Council President Jones?
Yes.
Council Member Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
16-04-CC rezone has been approved. Thank you. Item 7A, election of a council member to serve as president of the council until the first meeting in January of 2018. So we're going to just start doing this on an annual basis. Preferably, we can have someone who is available to step in on short notice to attend meetings and work with the mayor on briefings on what those meetings are and are about. A lot of the times the meetings are something where I end up being double booked and we have to go through and represent, and we're looking at one particular item in a large scale type of situation. So a lot of times there's emergencies in the city that I need to take care of and can't go to a meeting. So a lot of times these are really short notice type of things. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. So we will open the floor for nominations for council president.
I don't know if there's discussion on it before we make nominations.
Sure, you can make discussion.
Do you have a discussion item?
No,
okay.
No, I'm fine.
Mayor, the only concern I have is that I understand the need for the council president. I think we need to probably clarify our code a little bit just to state that it is going to be based on the need for short notice and everything, which is fine with me. I am concerned about the impact that that puts on a member of council regarding somebody who possibly does not have the ability to leave their job or has to leave their job without any compensation from their job. I guess what that's leading into is that there's going to be a time that we may have four council members on here that don't have the flexibility to be called at a short notice. Some businesses may allow them to recoup that lost time. Some don't. So I am concerned about that. So the reason I bring that up is I was wanting to discuss maybe possibly some compensation for any lost time that a council member may have with their daily job of having to be at that type of a short notice availability. I do know that other cities do have compensation for their presidents, so I don't know how the other council members feel, but if it's going to be a short notice type thing, I think that there's needs to be some sort of mechanism in there so they're not losing time above and beyond what a typical council member would be required to perform.
What were you thinking, Pat? Were you thinking like a flat rate, like the council president makes like $1,000 more, or were you thinking something different based on actual needs? Or
We can do a flat rate. I think a lot of them I looked at have been flat rates. And I don't know if it's, you know, $50 a month. I mean, that's $600 a year. I don't know. I guess I don't know exactly what we're talking about, too, because as me being council president this year, I think I was asked to fill in only on two meetings. One of them I definitely couldn't have, and the other one just didn't materialize. So I don't know how much of a of that's going to be. I mean, I'm assuming if it's, you know, six, seven meetings or 7 hours a month, then I think we need to seriously consider that. If it's going to be, you know, once every 3 months for a two-hour meeting, then, you know, I think we just need to figure out what we're expecting and then possibly try to compensate for that and then to find out who actually has that flexibility.
The one reason that, and that's not really something that's in code, that you have to be available for meetings, that's just something that was kind of my preference if it fit the needs of and wishes of council. I'm running into a lot of times now, we have a lot of issues coming up where other entities are wanting to change things, and then those put extra meetings on. Most of the time, I can make all of the meetings that are, you know, if they're meetings between mayors and ACHD and county commissioners, they all are at those meetings, so I don't have to worry about overlapping ones. I guess the only time that becomes a concern is when ACHD has a meeting, for instance, and they want me to attend when there's also a meeting going on with the other mayors and county commissioners, and so that would pull me away from that. Those haven't been very frequent in this past year, and I don't look for them to be very frequent in the following year, but those issues are coming up more and more, so I guess the availability part is more my preference, but that certainly is not something that council even has to consider. As far as compensation for that, I think I would leave that up to council. I don't look to this being something that's going to take a lot of time by anybody in particular. There might be 8 or 10 meetings throughout the year that need attended, unless the council president would like to sit on a committee that might require more meetings. And then that would be the preference of the council president. So that's kind of where that came from, and I guess it's kind of up to you from there.
I If I could have the floor, Mayor.
Yes.
I would be willing, as a council person, to just leave it open and maybe have the president keep a track of his time. And then next year, bring it up before the council as to how much time he really had to provide. One thing that I would like to see is a description of what the president's obligation would be, what would be expected of him, and maybe that would make it easier on the members to elect somebody every year based on what is going to be expected of the president, I think. Somebody new coming in is asked to vote every 2 years. We have new members. I don't think they know what the expectation would be for that position. It would be helpful if we had a description as of what might be expected of that position.
There's really not a what we changed last time was the description, and it's kind of open. There's really not a lot of detail.
And that's why I'm saying maybe there should be a little more of a adherent description of what's to be expected of that individual. I just think it would make it easier on new members coming in to know of the expectations. So, I don't know who would draw that up. Maybe Richard? Or would the council prefer to do that?
Well, I've been on council for 5 years, and I still don't know what the president's job entails. Like, I see John approach the bench, if you will, after meetings, and I think he's getting Pat's signature on some stuff, but I don't know. So I would probably like to see something like that as well, just so there's a little bit more clarity about it.
Yeah, I think right now the only thing they do, the council president is the co-signer on the financials after the meeting, which is what John brings up. And then basically it's just filling in for meetings for the mayor is kind of the broad analysis of it. I'm not really sure how we would get a lot more specific than that.
I guess, Mayor, I'll just throw this out here. If it's going to be required of a council president to be able to be called 24 or 48 hours ahead of time to serve in that capacity, that's something I probably could not do my job probably would not allow that flexibility. If it's just the position to take over the mayor's spot as a incapacitation or something like that, that might be something different, but if it's going to require 24 and 48 hours notice to attend a meeting, then like I said, that's probably something I could not do. I don't know if we are not requiring any power from a council member at a meeting, and I don't know if that's what we want anyways, but then I don't know why it really even needs to be a council member to attend those meetings.
Well, okay, so basically with most of the meetings that I sit in on with Compass Board, DRT Board, any of those types of one, at the beginning of the year I have to assign someone to be my alternate. So if I'm not there, that is the person that has to fill in that meeting. There is ways for me to make somebody else be available for that and let them fill in that official capacity. But At those meetings, the vote is actually the vote of the mayor. So in that capacity, you do have the power of the mayor, and that's why it's kind of important to have one person that can do that. I wouldn't say that this is requiring anyone to fill in at a meeting. I mean, if you can't make it, you can't make it. There's no way that I could ever require that to happen. I wouldn't call it a requirement of a council member that is president. It's just something that would be my preference if someone is more available than not. But if that doesn't happen, then that doesn't happen. So.
Well, I think, Mayor, with that, I think that's another example of where we need to have that little bit of description, because I wasn't aware that you had to actually assign an alternate to cover you for the year or whatever that would be in your position as far as power to make votes and everything when you're not there. So I think that's something that if we have that jot down as a description, that would be helpful in knowing of what our requirements would be or expectations would be, I should say.
Okay. Anything further?
Well, Richard, you want to be?
If it's agreeable with the council, I would accept the nomination.
Brianna, you have anything to say? Add, I should say.
No, I mean, is this something where we want to just, like, try to set up a rotation or something? Or... one of the biggest things I'm worried about is if it changes a bunch, like we're spending money to get business cards reprinted all the time. That just seems, that might be a small thing, but it just seems like a waste. But particularly if the, I mean, additional responsibilities are falling on one person all the time, and without any additional, you know, compensation, depending on how much of an impact it really is, it seems like it might be useful to rotate that through whoever might be available, just so that one person doesn't end up taking the brunt of it. But whatever, other folks are fine with it, probably fine with me.
Well, I mean, I don't know that it's necessary to actually have a council member that has his council president on the business cards. I think we can operate with the same business cards. So.
Okay, I just thought Pat's got reprint. Like, I thought we ordered new ones for Pat, and then he got elected council president. Like, at the next meeting, is when we had to order. We ordered some new ones again.
Yeah, we did do that last time. Yes.
Chris, what is the cost for 1,000 business cards?
Councilmember Ricardo, is that I want to say it's somewhere in the $30 to $40 range. And we did order new cards last time, but we also had a new logo that we needed to get updated on cards, and so we kind of did a fell swoop. I believe that we have retained nameplates, so there wouldn't be that cost if there's a change. Also, we have retained some business cards from previous if we need those as well. And we kind of hoard everything, so we probably have stuff still that would ease the cost of any transition.
Well, let me ask this. Like I said, based on the concerns the mayor had and his recommendation of what he needs, I'm going to recuse myself from being considered. Greg, I don't know if you want to be considered. I'd like to know if Brianna would like to be considered too, or whoever would like to be considered for this position.
Do you want to make a nomination of Brianna, or?
I'm just asking if she would be if what we've talked about was something that she could fulfill.
Brianna?
The theory? I mean, yeah, probably. I do have flexibility with my schedule, but if I have, a meeting or something scheduled, they don't happen super frequently, but if those are set, then they're kind of immovable frequently. So I would probably be available to do it.
But do you want to? That's the question.
I would do it, sure. But it's really, I'm not going to, go try and make sure he is or anything if I don't.
Okay, so we do have one nomination of Richard Cardoza. Do we have a second for that nomination?
You right with that, Richard?
Yeah.
Brianna, you right with that?
Sure.
Okay, then I'll second it. Since you brought it up.
Okay. And is there any more nominations? All right, so we have a nomination of Richard Cardoza and a second. All those in favor of Richard Cardoza being council president for 2017, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. And we will work on trying to get up some kind of a list of the committees and meetings and all of that where it's required to have a designated person involved.
Mayor, can I add one more thing? Can we,
sure.
At that time, can we look in to see what other cities are doing as far as compensation for presidents?
Yes.
Thank you.
You bet. Item 7B, consideration to approve 16-01-TE, time extension. Applicant requests a time extension for the Merlin Point subdivision. Applicant requests a time extension to allow a large commercial user and the landowner to finalize preparations and agreements for construction responsibilities. The site is located on the northwest corner of Cuna Curve near Sailor Place and Cuna Road. Troy?
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. I think
Mr. Behunin, could you hold, please, while we re-engage with council member Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yep.
Did she get lost in the snowstorm?
Evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. Just for the record, Troy Buchanan, Planner 3, Community Planning and Zoning Department. The application you have before you tonight, 16-01-TE for Merlin Point Subdivision Number 1, is a time extension for the same project. The applicant and the landowner have been working with a buyer for quite some time, and they just need a little bit more time for some negotiations on land purchase and responsibilities and things like that. Granted that this is actually the first time extension that this council has heard probably by any of you except for Richard Cardoza, so this is kind of a unique animal tonight. The representative is here tonight just in case the council does have any questions, but I think that the application is a straightforward application. And I would stand for any questions you might have.
Okay, questions for Troy.
Troy, they're allowed to one-year extensions.
Actually, they're allowed as many time extensions as the council would like to see fit. In 1 year increments, yes.
Okay. I just didn't know we had to record how many numbers there were.
Yeah.
To keep track. Okay. Thank you.
Troy, are you saying he's got unlimited extensions?
I believe that the council approved a text amendment about a year and a half, 2 years ago, where the limit on the number of extensions that an applicant could apply for was removed. And they could apply for as many as necessary, as many as this council determines that they need until it falls down.
Annually.
On an annual basis, yep.
Yes.
Well, it looks like section 6-2-3-J, the maximum number of time extensions that may be granted by city council is 2. You'd find that on page 2 of 7 under 7B.
It's under A, course of proceedings. Versus
yes.
No under obligation. We're under no obligation to grant.
The third bullet down, very last sentence.
That is a typo on staff's part. That is not what code says. Not any longer. That would be a typo.
Okay. For the record, then.
For the record.
Okay.
Would you like to come up so I can slap your hand?
Troy,
can I phone a friend on that?
I have one other question for you. As far as the preliminary plat, the preliminary plat contains everything that's on there is per code, as in there's been no amendments to allow something from previously that wasn't at code at the time the plat was done.
I believe so. Let me just see if my answer jives with what you're saying. Everything that they were approved for did follow code back in 2000 and what was that, Steve? 2013.
Okay.
And they have not applied for any amendments to those approvals.
And you're off the top of your head, you're not aware of any changes that we've done between then and now that would require anything to be done differently than what was approved before?
Nothing significant, the exception being the number of time extensions that's allowed.
Okay, anything further for Troy?
Mayor, I've got one. Troy, in a final plat, is there a development agreement?
There isn't a development agreement with this parcel, yes.
Okay, so the development agreement will not change at all?
No.
With a extension?
This does not change any approvals whatsoever. It extends what has been granted. And if they were to seek any changes, they would have to come back through seeking those amendments or those approvals.
Okay, thanks, Troy. Thank you, Mayor.
Very good, thank you. Any further discussion? The question is rightfully before council.
Mayor, that I move that we grant the one-year extension for the final plat of Merlin Point Subdivision Number 1.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve 16-01-TE for Merlin Point. Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Sorry, Brian, I don't mean to cut you off. I forget.
Oh, no, you're fine. Don't worry.
All right. Motion carries. Discussion on ID badges with possibility to move funds from contingency to purchase equipment. Bobby Withrow.
Good
For the record, Bobby Withrow, Parks Director. Mayor, Council, I put together a short, sweet memorandum showing everything we need for ID badges as was requested. If you have any questions, let me know. First of all, the printer, it comes with 100 PVC cards. And then we need lanyards and the ID slot punch and possibly a digital camera. Sorry. So the total would be $1,462 approximately. And if you wanted to move forward with that, we need to take it from contingency.
And I think the addition of a digital camera for City Hall would be a good thing. Beyond just the ID badges.
You don't already own a camera?
I think Planning and Zoning has one. And the post office does.
So we wouldn't need a camera then?
So probably wouldn't need a camera.
Okay.
We need one of theirs.
So that puts you down to 1,062.
Which does not seem like...
I have a question. I apologize if I've interrupted anyone. Is there anything we can add to these that would make them significantly more difficult to copy? I mean, if it's just like a color thing that we laminate, it seems like that would be something that somebody with ulterior motives might be able to reproduce. So I was wondering, are we putting any sort of like... Does this equipment provide us the opportunity to, or do we have any plans to include any sort of like hologram thing or a chip or just anything that would identify them as accurate and, you know, like a true ID badge issued by the city?
Councilmember Boobin Vonderhaar, yes, there are printers out there that can do that. The printer I have on here is just your average card. Printer. It doesn't have that capability, but there are some out there that are significantly higher in price. I wasn't sure which way council wanted to go, if we just wanted to go the standard ID badge with employee's name on it, or if we wanted to do with, like you're talking about, security watermarks or stuff like that. But yes, we can get a printer that can do that.
So I'm sure you've been looking into this a bunch, and so what I'm curious about is, I mean, if it's just something that we're printing out and then, like, laminating, it seems like we could have done that already.
These won't be laminated. It'll be printed right on the card, and then it'll dry, and then that's the finish. We could possibly get holders for the badges themselves. So that they would last longer from wear.
Okay. Yeah, I guess, I mean, I think my biggest concern is just making sure, to me, the point of having the ID badges, and if somebody speak up if this is not your understanding of it, what was really to be able to let members of the public, number one, identify our employees and know who they are, but more importantly, have some level of comfort in knowing this is genuinely a city employee they're like letting into their backyard or, you know, engaging with in some way. And so just making sure that's something they're going to be able to do just by looking at the ID badge and not have any concerns about is it real or not.
Okay.
So if we feel like just using this printer itself that's printing on more of like a plastic than paper will be enough to differentiate and make them, you know, harder to rip off, and in theory my concerns are addressed.
Mayor,
I'll chime
in here. Brian, I've looked in these and saw this, what Bobby was wanting to do. It prints it like a driver's license, and it's kind of a driver's license form. As far as the type of material that it uses, it doesn't have the barcode and stuff on the back, but it's like that type of a printing compared to a card that you stick in a laminate and then heat it closed. So it does print directly on the card itself. I think, you know, obviously long term, it may not meet any type of security goals. I asked earlier today about, you know, some places use your cards to swipe in to get into a building and that type of thing. And I don't know if that's something would be useful or not, or even time clocking. But then I don't know, you know, that may open up a whole nother realm of expenses to do something like that. So I don't know if that answers your question as far as what they kind of look like. But I think they would be difficult to duplicate any more than what anything else is out there. To add one more thing, I'll just beat you up a little bit. I think your prices are very high.
Yeah, I added a little bit in there just so.
Yeah, you can get everything without the printer for, or without the camera for $700.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I didn't go much higher on that printer.
Yeah, I can help you find it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went off the website we use.
Yeah, I just got to, and I don't know, that might be something, but if you go, like, I just looked at Amazon.
And I didn't get the numbers for Amazon. Wasn't sure how we were going to purchase it.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's something that we'd have to probably talk to John or something mm-hmm. about doing something like that. But before we do it, I think we can find some way to do it a little cheaper. I just would appreciate looking into that. Yeah. So.
I have one final question. I don't think I see on here, the price of printer is, it includes the 100 PVC cards and that sort of thing. So I don't know exactly how much the cards are, but I just wanted to throw out there, if we think getting, like, I don't want to call it a card sleeve, but, like, I have, like, a card holder that goes on my lanyard for my work ID. And if we think having employees utilize those types of things would end up meaning less cards get broken in half, or then we have to reprint them and that sort of thing, we would be able to eliminate the cost of the punch by just getting some sort of a card holder, you know, that the part would slide into. So I don't know if you looked into that at all, or what the price breakdown would be with eliminating the punch and, you know, purchasing a different kind of holder thing instead. But I just thought I'd throw it out there if there's any concerns that by being on a lanyard these might get chipped up or broken or whatever.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely price out the little sleeves that the card would go into, and then take away the punch to see what the cost difference would be.
I'd honestly, for me, I don't need to, like, I don't feel like we need to delay this further by, like, having a report back or whatever. I'm fine with approving an amount that would cover both options and just having the, I guess, understanding that you would do whatever you end up determining is most cost efficient, given what you know about the durability of the cards, the likelihood of breakage, you know, whether the holders versus just having the card attached to the lanyards on their own would end up being more cost effective in the long run, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have a problem with that either. I think we can set a up to price today. I'm assuming that this will be split across all,
mm-hmm.
All departments. Department, yeah, thank you.
Richard. I've got one question. We're talking about spending $1,000. I've got a very simple question. What happens if an employee doesn't wear it? Is there any kind of mandate that he has to, or she has to wear it? Is there a penalty? Or if we're going through all this expense, what?
I think what we've kind of been discussing this, guys are going to, if they're going to do a badge like that on a lanyard, if they're getting down in the hole working, they're probably going to end up hanging on the rearview mirror until they get out of the hole. But if they're going in somebody's backyard, then they're going to wear them and, you know, we can work on just a directive for employees on
okay.
when to wear them and when not to wear them and that type of thing, so they don't get torn up. So I think that's something we'll have to kind of work on. But
I just had a question. If this is for the people that go out in the field, or is this across the board?
I think it should be across the board. I think if one does, all does. And I don't see why we also couldn't put any requirements in the personnel manual to wear your ID badges.
I just don't see the necessity. Thank you.
Does council have to wear them?
If so, if you, I'll wear them. I wear my name tag here. So. Yeah, some of us wear those. One thing to consider, and I don't know if it would help, and I don't, especially, you probably haven't talked to the public work guys, but whether or not having them in their arms.
Okay, so like arm sleeves?
Arm sleeves, yeah. I don't know if but that might be a little harder to come up to somebody's door. Hey, because I'm so turned, and, you know, so I don't.
Yeah, especially if
they have
shoulders.
Yeah,
right,
so.
Couldn't we just use, like, maybe instead of a whole lanyard, just like a little clip that would let them clip it on, like, the left chest area of the shirt or something like that, where, you know, you're clipping on their lapel, depending on what kind of shirt they're wearing, so something like that. I mean, yeah, there's probably some options in that regard, right?
I can definitely look into some options, but I think for ease, it might be a little bit easier with the lanyard. But I'll price it out and kind of see what the difference is. And then I'll get with the guys to see what they would rather have. If they'd rather have a lanyard, or if they want to go with something that'll just clip on.
If they lose it, who's going to pay for it? The city? Repeatedly?
I don't see why. If somebody loses something, then I have my own mixed emotions on things that are lost and stuff like that. I think
the point of buying all this equipment and doing this is that the cost is very minimal once we get past purchasing the equipment. I mean, what do you, if you lose one, what's it going to cost? A couple bucks or something?
Yeah, the cards aren't very expensive at all. I don't have a price on the actual cards themselves. So I figured we'd be probably a year or two or three before we needed any, because we're getting 100.
I'm more concerned of the time element to bring in the gentleman or the lady out of the field and have her picture taken, and how productive is that going to be if it's done repeatedly?
Sorry, Councilman Carr doesn't even interrupt you. With the digital camera, we could actually go out to them.
Store it on the software.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it once and store it on the software. You don't have to
even have to take
sure,
one picture.
True. Okay.
When you look at the lanyards, when you make sure they're breakaway, safety-wise.
Oh, breakaway?
Yeah,
okay.
I know that a little bit more, but it's the last thing you need somebody.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want mine to be breakaway.
Okay, so do we want to authorize a not-to-exceed mount and then amount, and then let Bobby proceed?
Yes.
Are you comfortable with that?
I'm fine with that.
I think
you're
that.
To delete the camera?
Yeah, I was thinking just do the $1,000. I mean, and you can do for eight.
Well, I would like to have it be a little bit more if we're having Bobby look at, like, the potential for getting card holders, like, some sort of protection for the card that they're worn, and potentially, you know, we're increasing the price of the lanyards and that sort of thing. I just don't want to have to come back to ask for, like, a little bit more money, since we've already talked about what our expectations are. So I'd be fine with saying like $1,300 or something like that, just to make sure he has a wiggle room, and then under the heat, and we've clearly given the direction that we just want to be as cost effective as possible.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, where would you keep the pictures? Just curious. I mean, you'd have them, if you borrow the camera, they would be on your little chip, but where would we keep the pictures thereafter?
We'd probably download them to the S drive.
And the software.
And keep them on the server.
Okay.
In the software, if you look at it, it's actually kind of, you can put whatever you want on it, city logo. I mean, you can get very detailed, and it stores them all on there, so whatever the normal S drive or whatever you guys are storing them on. So. And then you can put the pictures on the website of everybody who works for the city. You know? Should that make you all happy, huh? So I guess I'll move that we approve the expenditure of up to $1,300 to purchase the required equipment for the ID badges.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve not to exceed $1,300 on the equipment and materials for the ID badges. Is there any further discussion?
It's with the understanding it comes out of everybody's contingency, as Pat had mentioned.
Yeah. Do I need to amend that, Richard? Do I need to amend that to reflect it out of each department's contingency? Well, I amend my motion that the fund be removed from the contingency funds of each individual department as split per HR's discretion, I guess. Or whatever.
Okay, motion is has been changed. The second still stands. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council on this, please?
Council President Cardoza?
Yes.
Council Member Jones?
Yes.
Council Member Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Council Member McPherson?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. That was the last thing we have on the agenda. I just wanted to bring up again, thank you to the school district again for approving our right-of-way for our downtown project. That really made a big difference for us, and I am very appreciative of that. The school district took the time to help save our project, so I just wanted to give them kudos for that. I think I sent staff and council out a memo earlier that we're expecting somewhere between 4 and 6 inches of snow here in the next 24 hours, so we'll keep monitoring that and keep in communications with ACHD on keeping our main roads safe. Their priorities are school routes, and the main traveled roads are going to start trying to work their way into the connections into some of the subdivisions and the main arterials. So ACHD's been working hard and 24 hours a day, so we certainly appreciate their efforts. Is there anything anyone else would like to mention? Okay, meeting adjourned.